So I have to admit something to you. When I felt the Lord calling me to speak today, I really struggled. Lord, what do you want me to say? What message do you want me to give? What do you want me to learn from myself that I can share with others? Guess what? No response. For days I thought, I prayed, and I wondered, what is your message, Lord? And guess what happened? Doubt surfaced. Lord, do you really want me to speak? Maybe someone else can do it. Maybe Pastor Clayton can do it, or Pastor Merlin, or Pastor Kurt. No. That is not what the Lord wanted me to do. Pastor Heather is called to speak to you today, but still, I doubted. Then I quickly realized that the Lord wanted me to learn more and share with you a message on the difficult subject of doubt. When researching the topic online, I found a sermon by Pastor Ray Pritchard called, If I Believe, Why Do I Doubt? He continues in explaining how there are three categories of doubt that we experience. There is circumstantial doubt, intellectual doubt, and spiritual doubt. And he gives several examples of these doubts. The first one, circumstantial doubt. They're the why questions in life. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do people get cancer? Why does God allow these tragic things to happen? These doubts are very common in our lives today. I'm sure these doubts have been around for many centuries. Some examples of the intellectual doubts are, is the Bible really the Word of God? Is Jesus really God's Son? Or did Jesus really rise from the grave? And these questions can be stumbling blocks for those who decide to doubt, and with this doubt, decide not to believe in God at all. And then there are spiritual doubts. These are the personal questions such as, am I good enough to be a Christian? Do I commune with God enough daily? Am I really forgiven? And these are the doubts that can plague us as Christians. Doubt. What a sneaky little emotion. When doubt sneaks into our lives, it can wreak all kinds of havoc. You begin to question your capabilities, your motives, even your own strength. This is when I quickly realized that even as followers of Christ, we can doubt. It's not that I personally doubt Jesus, it's that I end up doubting myself. And that is exactly how Satan gets us, isn't it? He knows how to push our buttons and help us into our self-doubt. And doubt has been around since the very beginning. There are several people in Scripture who experience periods of doubt. And the very first time we see doubt is in Genesis chapter 3. This, of course, is where Eve encounters that sneaky little serpent. And let's read it together. Genesis, we're going to read in chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat of the fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, She gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it. Then the Lord God said to the woman, What is this you have done? The woman said, The serpent deceived me, and I ate. The very first sin came about from our fallen tendency to doubt. It wasn't the actual act or thought of doubt, but the choice to listen to the doubt. Did God really say? Of course he did. But doubt entered Eve's mind, and she acted on it. And we too have been experiencing doubt ever since. Another scriptural reference we learn about doubt is in Matthew chapter 14. We read about the time when Jesus walked on the water. What's the lesson here? Let's read it starting at verse 25. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said. Why do you doubt? I've often wondered who was Jesus talking to here. Was it really only Peter? Didn't he step out in faith? What about the other 11 disciples in the boat? Only Peter responded, and they didn't move a single muscle as Jesus told him to come out of the water. Come out of the boat, sorry. What do we learn from their example? They wouldn't budge. Perhaps they were gripped by fear. Who knows for sure? The Bible doesn't tell us. We can learn a great lesson here from Peter. Despite the physical impossibility of walking on water, Peter was the only one who got out of the boat. The Bible tells us he also began to walk on the water. But what happens to Peter when he sees what is actually happening to him? You got it. Doubt set in and he began to sink. For him, this happened only at the moment where he took his focus off of Jesus and placed it on himself and his immediate situation. We learn a valuable lesson here to always keep our eyes on Jesus. And I'm sure you've all heard the well-known phrase, he's a doubting Thomas. Jesus' disciple Thomas would not believe Jesus had resurrected from the dead until he actually saw the nail marks in his hands or put his hand at Jesus' side. John 20:27 says that he, Jesus, said to Thomas, Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. And this is so true. For us who were not there, Jesus said, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That is us. We have not seen, but we still believe. And this is only a small taste of all those people in Scripture who doubted at one time or another. It is a comfort knowing that we are not the only ones who experience doubt. We all have that in common. Pastor Pritchard said, Doubt does have its uses. Deep doubt is often the prelude to an even deeper faith. Doubt can actually rebuild, strengthen, and restore your faith and inspire others. But of course, we cannot do it on our own. In order to deal with doubt, we must hold on to God's revelation about Jesus Christ in spite of all of our circumstances. There are points in our lives when our faith is strong and we believe without a doubt. But then we also have times where doubt creeps in and we cry out to the Lord to help our unbelief. The good news is that God answers prayer. And he wants us to have faith, stop doubting, and believe. Pastor Pritchard also said, above the front door of every church in the world, we should erect a two-word sign, doubters welcome. That should be our church's message. If you have doubts, come inside. If you have questions, come inside. If you are uncertain, come inside. If you're a skeptic, come inside. If you're searching for the truth, come inside. Doubters, welcome here. Sinners are welcome here. And everyone is welcome here. Like I said, doubt can creep up on us at any time. We can choose whether or not to believe. There is a friend of ours from Bible college who shared the following quote on Facebook. I don't know if any of you have seen it, but it says, Jacob was a cheater. Peter had a tempter. David had an affair. Noah got drunk. Jonah ran from God. Paul was a murderer. Gideon was insecure. Miriam was a gossiper. Martha was a worrier. Thomas was a doubter. Sarah was impatient. Elijah was moody. Moses stuttered. Zacchaeus was short. Abraham was old. And Lazarus was dead. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. We are all called to follow the Lord. We all have different talents and gifts we have been blessed with. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, Paul encourages us with these words. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. At any time, have you ever felt underqualified to live up to the calling that God has in your life? The good news comes from one promise from our Lord to encourage us, found in Matthew 28, 20b. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Let us trust Jesus, stop doubting, and believe. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, I thank you for these words today, these words of encouragement. That we have your word that we can turn to for all of our answers to all of our questions and doubts and fears. Lord God, you are the one that we should turn to. You are the light in our souls. I just pray, Lord God, that if anyone here is doubting, including myself, Lord God, just give us the strength and the courage to stand for you. Fear not and just trust in you, Lord God. Be with us all. In your precious name, I pray. Amen.